Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. We're going to read verses 6 down to verse number 9. Exodus chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. Exodus chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. Verse 6 reads, "And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we pray that you would teach us from your precious word this evening. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Here in Exodus chapter 4, we see that Moses was concerned about how he was going to lead God's people out of Israel. There in chapter 4, verse number 1, he said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." So Moses was willing, but he wasn't confident as to how he was going to achieve what God had called him to do. He said, "The people will not believe me." And then from verses 2 down to verse number 5, God told Moses to cast his rod to the ground. And upon letting go of that rod and casting it onto the ground, the Bible teaches us it turned into a serpent. Then God said to him, "I want you to pick up that serpent by the tail." And he did what he was told, and that serpent became once again a rod. And God concluded by saying to Moses in verse number 5 that they will believe. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. So basically, God said to Moses, if you will just let go of that rod, if you will just surrender, I can work. And we stress the principle of full surrender from verses 1 to 5. Moses had a rod in his hand. He was willing to let it go. And God performed the miraculous. And last Sunday evening, we stressed the fact that you and I, if God is to work, we need to be fully surrendered vessels. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. So the principle of full surrender, that rod spoke of what Moses did for the last 40 years. It was a security for him. He knew how to lead sheep. And God said to him, "Let it go." And so the principle of full surrender. See, Moses was concerned about God's people believing him. And Moses was concerned about how he was possibly going to lead God's people out of bondage. And God requested of Moses that he surrender in principle. And this leads us to verse number 6. And here in verse number 6, God told Moses to place his hand under his clothing in his chest. The Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And then the verse goes on to read that he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. So God told Moses to place his hand under his clothing in his chest. And when he took it out, the Bible teaches us it was leprous. A common disease, a common incurable disease. And then we read on in verse number 7, God tells him to put his hand once again under his clothing, on his chest, into his bosom. And when he pulls it out, the Bible teaches us it was no more leprous. The Bible teaches us at the end of verse 7, it was turned again as his other flesh. See, leprosy in the Bible is a fitting picture of sin. Leprosy normally equated to death unless there was a miracle that intervened. And Romans chapter 6 verse 23, the Bible teaches us the wages of sin is death. So leprosy is a fitting picture of sin and its terminal effect. In Romans chapter 5, we are told that wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. And death passed upon all men because all have sinned. And then in verse number 19, we have a ray of hope there in Romans chapter 5, where it talks about by one man's disobedience, we were dead, but by the obedience of another, in reference to Jesus Christ, we can be made alive. Sin came into the world by the first Adam. And sin was dealt with by the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Note there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 and 22. It reads, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Then it clarifies there in verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Man brought ruin into the world. Jesus Christ provided redemption. Man brought guilt into the world. Jesus Christ offers pardon. Jesus Christ offers righteousness, forgiveness. Moses' hand became leprous initially, but upon obedience to God, the second time he was healed. And in the same way, if we obey the word of God, the gospel, we can be healed from the eternal destruction of sin. Within the time of Moses, leprosy was everywhere, prevalent. And there was no known cure for leprosy. The same was the case in the days of our Lord Jesus. It was the worst disease you could get because it was fatal. It equated to death. And it was believed that only God could heal leprosy. And if God can heal leprosy, God can deliver. That was the mindset. So it's no coincidence that God, with Moses, not only turned his hand leprous, but was able to heal that leprosy because God was saying to Moses, if I can heal leprosy, I can deliver you out of Egypt. That's the point of the illustration. So this miracle would give Moses great credibility before the Israelites. And then we read on in verse number 8. It shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that is the rod turning into a snake, if the Israelites won't believe that, Moses, and they will not believe the latter sign, the hand becoming leprous, God said in verse number 9, it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river Nile, and pour it upon dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So God said to Moses, if they will not believe the first sign, if they will not believe the second sign, they will believe when I turn water from the Nile River into blood. See, the Egyptians worshipped the Nile River. It was their source of life. It was their source of productivity. So Moses showing by turning that water into blood, he was demonstrating before the Israelites that God is powerful and God is more powerful. Moses showing that he had power over the Nile will prove that God gave Moses the power to overcome the Egyptians. And it's interesting that in this miracle in verse number 9, there is no restoration like the other two. The rod was once again turned back into a rod. The leprosy was cured. But not so with this miracle. Because this miracle reminds us of the fact of judgment. When God judges, God judges, and God's judgment is final. And this miracle will bring much punishment and judgment upon the Egyptians. And we see later here in Exodus chapter 4, we see that Moses performs these miracles before the Israelites, verses 29 and verse 30. And as God predicted in verses 5 and 8, the Israelites believed. Note then verse 31, the people believed when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, that he looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. So God's people were a little bit slow to believe, but they did believe eventually. Now, as we consider the second main miracles of the leprous hand, what else is God teaching Moses about the ability to lead Israel out of bondage? From the casting down of the rod, we can note the principle of surrender. Full surrender, letting it go. I'd like to submit to you this evening that in order for God to work and do the miraculous in and through your life and my life, God not only needs you and I to surrender, but we also need to be fully obedient. We need to fully obey God. God calls for detailed obedience. In 1 Samuel 15:22, to obey is better than sacrifice. God wants obedience. See, Moses was concerned how am I going to lead the Israelites out of Egypt? And it really wasn't his problem. It was God's problem. God just needed a willing instrument so that he can accomplish his work. So we see the principle of surrender. We see the principle of obedience. What I've called detailed obedience. That's what God is looking for. That's what God is looking for in your life. That's what God is looking for in my life. And if you and I will be fully obedient, God will do that which he can only do, that is the miraculous. God did not expect Moses to perform miracles. God expected Moses to obey him specifically. God had called him. God wanted to use him. But really, it was God that was going to lead God's people out of bondage. It wasn't Moses. He was just the instrument in the hand of God. So God did not expect Moses to perform the miraculous. God expected Moses to obey. And may I submit to you and I this evening, God doesn't expect us to perform miracles. That's God's privilege. But he does expect you and I to obey. He does expect us to obey fully. Obey the details. When God tells us to put our hand in, we put our hand in. When God tells us to take our hand out, we take our hand out. And if God tells us to put our hand back in, we put it back in. And if God tells us to take our hand out again, even though you've done it before, you do it again. So I see detail. Detailed obedience. Detailed obedience. Now, why did God turn his hand leprous? Why? Why? I'm asking you the question. Well, we don't know, do we? Does it matter? Does it matter? No. Just need to obey. Amen? That's the point. We're not told why God did what he did. But that's what he did. See, God's after obedience. God is after detailed obedience. Even when we do not understand. See, God is not interested in partial obedience. He wants complete and detailed obedience. And when we obey fully, with all the finer details in order, God will do his work. I see detail here in verses 7 and 8. Moses, put your hand in. Moses, take it out. Moses, put it back in. Moses, take it back out. Detailed obedience. See, we can be guilty, I think, as Bible-believing Christians, of obedience, but not necessarily in detail. General obedience. And I think this is the problem with many of God's people. They're generally obedient. But when it comes to the details, they're not so obedient. Not so obedient. Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, as long as it fits in my schedule. Lord God, I'm willing to do such for so and so, but only so much. Lord, I'm willing to serve you in this ministry, but only on these days. God is after detailed obedience. See, God told Joshua, as he led God's people into the promised land, in order to conquer Jericho, God directed him specifically, did he not? They were to march around the wall once a day for 6 days. And then on day number 7, they were to march around 7 times. And then they were instructed specifically what to do, which climaxed with a great shout, and then the walls came tumbling down. Question, do you think the walls could have possibly have come down after day 6? After just marching around once a day and then taking a shortcut and shouting, do you think the walls would have come down? I don't think so. Because that's not what God said. God said, you will march around once a day for 6 days, and on day 7 you will march around 7 times, and then you are to do A, B, C, D, and then you are to shout, and then the walls will come tumbling down. That's exactly what happened. So Joshua led God's people into detailed obedience. God told Naaman to dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Though he hesitated, he obeyed. And the Bible teaches us he was cured of his leprosy. Note in 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Second Kings chapter 5. Verse 1 introduces the man Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, a mighty man in valour, a mighty soldier. But he was a leper, the Bible teaches us. And then we read on in verses 10 to 14, it reads, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, I thought that he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So God healed Naaman. God healed him because he obeyed the details. The details. He eventually submitted to God's specific will, God's specific word, via the hand of Elisha, and he was healed of his leprosy. God told Noah to build an ark. God gave him the design. God gave him the measurements. God told Moses to build a tabernacle. God gave him the design. God gave him the measurements. And as God directs you and I, and as God wants to use you and I for His glory, He calls for full obedience. And when you and I obey the details, God will do that which He can only do. I'm reminded of the nation of Israel crossing the Jordan into the promised land. And God said, when the feet of the priests are in the Jordan, once the feet touch the water, then the waters will open up. So the priests would have had to have made some effort to get into the Jordan, because the Jordan dropped. And upon touching the water, then the Jordan opened up. God's calling for obedience. See, Moses was concerned about, God, they're just not going to believe me. They're not going to believe that you appeared unto me. And God assured him that he would work, and that he would work mightily. But what God wanted of Moses and what God wants of you and I is surrender and full obedience, not partial obedience. See, if you go back to Exodus chapter 4, we see within this book, and we will see throughout this book, a purposeful end, that God is doing a work. God is working in a very special way in order to lead God's people out of bondage and into the promised land. We will see time and time again in this book that the providence of God, that God is in control, and we will see progress, how God isn't at a standstill. God is working. God is building the man Moses. And we will see the power of God throughout this book. Because God has a purpose. God has a plan for the nation of Israel. And God uses men, willing men. God uses honorable vessels for His usage. And first and foremost, in these early chapters of the book of Exodus, we see that God is building a man by the name of Moses. And God has chosen him with all of his shortcomings and inadequacies. God has chosen Moses to lead God's people out of bondage. So God is preparing him to become a useful vessel for God's glory. See, God must do a work within us before he can do a work through us. And God is eager to manifest his power, but he needs his servants. He needs you and I in a state of full surrender and full obedience. And then, and only then, can we expect for God to work. So I see within these miracles that God said he will perform before the Israelites in order to convince the Israelites that he was called of God to lead them out of bondage. I see within these miracles the principle of surrender, letting go of that rod, and I see the principle of detailed obedience. Detailed obedience. So you surrendered fully to the Lord? Are you obeying God in detail, the details? See, it's one thing to be in church, but yet to live a disobedient Christian life for the rest of the week. And that pretty much typifies most Christians today. They're in church, but Monday to Saturday, they pretty much do their own thing. I trust that's not true of you and I this evening. Surrender, detailed obedience. That's what I get from this passage of Scripture. God was going to do the miraculous, but God needed a vessel that he could use for his glory. A vessel that was surrendered, a vessel that was willing to obey fully. Moses, put your hand in. Moses, take it out. Moses, put your hand back in. Moses, take it back out again. And we see that Moses obeyed and God did the miraculous. I'm sure he was scratching his head wondering why. Why leprosy? God, could you not have been a little bit more creative in the kind of miracle? Why did you choose leprosy? Why did you give me such a scare to turn my hand leprous? I'm glad you've cured it, but you could have been more creative. See, we don't have to understand the way God works, but by faith to simply believe that God is at work, and you and I just need to obey. We need to be fully surrendered. Summed up in a beautiful hymn, trust and obey.